Hello, David and everyone. It was great being with many of you all this morning when we did the Fire the Grid meditation. That was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience for me. And it was so great to see so many people, you know, in the room, joined in doing it together. Of course, there were many more across the world doing it as well. But it was just so fun to see so many people showing up in the room. I really love that. And I want to say thank you to Dorothea and Mary Ellen for, you know, leading such a wonderful period of time for all of us. It was just gorgeous. And I've been feeling very, very peaceful and very, very quiet all day. And I think I typically feel peaceful now. As you all know, fear comes up from time to time, but peace is my more normal experience. So probably what was different about today is the feeling of quiet, because I usually spend a lot of time on the phone, you know, a lot of time in communication with others, and today I felt very inside of myself. I did things like pull weeds, do some house cleaning, and stayed very within all day. So now it's time to come out and do a bit of teaching, but this will be wonderful too. But really, it's just been a marvelous day. I absolutely loved it, and I want to say thank you to everyone. We are here today for Holy Spirit Guides, which means we're looking at reginadonacres.com. Let me give you that link. There you are, my friends. So if you will click on reginadonacres.com, I'll give you a minute to get there. We're going to be going into April 2005 today, and I am there today. So, you know, I think Holy Spirit's going to let me teach from reginadonacres.com. Last week, two of my teachings, you know, I'm going to say were hijacked by Holy Spirit, but obviously Holy Spirit had my permission. But two of my teachings last week, I think, came in thinking I was going to be teaching one thing, and Holy Spirit sent us off in a different direction. You'll remember, if you were here last Tuesday, that instead of reginadonacres.com, we had this wonderful lesson, this wonderful spontaneous lesson on love. And then on Thursday, on Friday, instead of going into the manual for teachers, we ended up talking about the original edition of A Course in Miracles for a few minutes, and then the rest of the time was devoted to talking about Fire the Grid. But I think a part of that conversation, talking about it there, I think really helped to get the energy going, which, you know, led to so many people being in the room this morning. So it was great. It was perfect. But I think this week, right now, I'm feeling like we'll probably be able to do what we're sitting down to do. So once you get to reginadonacres.com, you'll want to go to April 2005, which will be on your right-hand menu. Now, there are many Aprils there, so make sure you find April 2005 and click on that. When you get into the archives for April 2005, you're just going to need to scroll down. And you're scrolling down to Thursday, April 28th, 2005. And I love this one. This is a funny, funny one to me now. It wasn't then, but a funny one to me now. The title of this writing is You Are Perfect As You Are. This is a good one. Not that they all aren't, but this is a good one. So I'll go ahead and just begin. You'll notice that I was very open with the first question, because I just said, Holy Spirit, what thought would you share with me now? That's a perfect question. That's a perfect question. When you come in without a specific problem or anything in mind, just, Holy Spirit, what would you share with me now? But you'll notice that Holy Spirit said, you are perfect just as you are. And then I interrupted is basically what happened. It kind of shows up here in the writing as a huh, but but it was more like a stop. It was almost, to be honest, the feeling was more like a stop lying to me. That's what that huh really represents. When the Holy Spirit said to me, you are perfect just as you are, my immediate feeling was stop lying to me. And then the second thought that I remember having was something like, I'll be perfect someday. That's why I'm on this spiritual path. I am trying to become perfect, but I'm not perfect now. So that's what that huh really represents. I was arguing with the Holy Spirit. I thought I knew better than the Holy Spirit. I knew myself better than the Holy Spirit did. You are perfect just as you are. Huh? And then the Holy Spirit continues. It's interesting how you were tempted to pull away from that statement. Oh no, you thought, not just as I am. You thought that you must be listening to the ego. And that's a true statement. That is exactly what I thought. Even though I listened to the Holy Spirit really quite well, from the beginning of when I started listening to the Holy Spirit, I was pretty good at tuning into the Holy Spirit. It was very clear. But on this morning, when it came telling me that I was perfect just as I was, I thought, oh, I must be listening to the ego, because it's so funny now, but it's like the thought was, Holy Spirit would never say that to me, right? Holy Spirit would never lie to me and tell me that I'm perfect. This must be the ego. Can you see where my mind was at? It's interesting how you were tempted to pull away from that statement. Oh no, you thought, not just as I am. You thought that you must be listening to the ego. I tell you now that you are not listening to the ego, and you are perfect just as you are. But just as you are is not how you see yourself. Although you are happier and more at peace with yourself and how you see the world, you still believe yourself to be unworthy. Don't you see that you can only see yourself or someone else as unworthy if you have an idea of worthiness to compare to? And don't you see that if you can compare someone to the idea of worthiness, you are seeing that someone as separate from the idea? So Holy Spirit is really, and I never realized this, because as I think most of you know, I have not gone back and read this stuff until I read it again with you. So these writings are not real familiar in my mind. You know, I haven't read this since April 2005. But as I'm reading it now, I'm realizing this same thought showed up in NTI. This exact same thought where the Holy Spirit talks about whenever you are judging anything, and in this case we're talking about judging myself or judging you against the idea of worthiness, but whenever you're judging anything, there has to be a comparison going on there. And if there's a comparison going on there, there has to be two separate things to compare against. So I must be comparing myself to the idea of worthiness. And what I've done is I've separated myself from the idea right there. Or if I'm comparing myself to you in order to determine which one of us is most worthy, then I've separated myself from you right there. That same idea shows up in NTI, that judgment is always, always separation. It's impossible to judge without separating. And in fact, also in NTI, it says that judgment is like a knife that cuts or slices the Son of God into pieces. So this is really the same point that's coming up here. Focus on letting go of the idea of separation, and the concept of unworthiness will go with it. Now that's an interesting sentence too, and there's no way I really understood at the time that this was coming through me, what was coming through me. I did not have that level of understanding yet. But when I look back now at the beginning of the second paragraph, where it says, I tell you now that you are listening to the ego. I tell you now that you are not listening to the ego, and you are perfect just as you are. But then it says, but just as you are is not how you see yourself. And then this first sentence talks about focus, letting go of the idea of separation, and the concept of unworthiness will go with it. Those two sentences put together are very important, because of course, when the Holy Spirit told me that I am perfect just as I am, I immediately thought of Regina, of the personality of Regina. And I could think of many things in the personality of Regina that were not perfect. You know, for example, losing my temper with Jasmine, you know, not being patient with my daughter would be one. And so I could not accept what the Holy Spirit was telling me. But what the Holy Spirit is trying to say is, you are looking at one thing. You're looking at this separate personality, separate from other personalities like the personality of Jasmine. You're comparing yourself to an idea of perfection or an idea of worthiness. You're finding yourself unworthy. This is all within separation and judgment, and that's how you see you, and that's why you believe you're unworthy. But what I am looking at is something completely different. I, the Holy Spirit, do not have eyes for a Regina that is separate. I, the Holy Spirit, am looking at a oneness that is called the Son of God. And when I look at this oneness, what I see is absolute perfection. What I see when I look at this oneness is absolute freedom. What I see when I look at this oneness is complete and perfect love in operation. And every single thing that you seem to experience within illusion, which you are judging with your idea of separation, I see as perfect. Because I can see the creative power that is behind the experience. And I know that everything that creative power is asking to experience is being experienced just as it is being asked. And I know that is freedom, and I know that is the love of God, and I know it is absolutely perfect right now. So you see, the Holy Spirit was literally looking at one thing, and I was looking at another. It's like, as we say, comparing apples to oranges. We weren't even looking at the same me. When the Holy Spirit said, "You are perfect just as you are," the Holy Spirit was looking at our oneness. It was not looking at anything at all that could be called a separate individual. It was looking at us as we are right now and saying, "You are perfect just as you are." But I was not at all in a place to understand that, because all I saw was the personality of Regina within the realm of judgment with many perceived flaws. And so this is why I could not accept the statement, and I thought that it had to be the ego trying to pump me up. It was not the ego trying to pump me up. It was the Holy Spirit trying to point me in the direction of my truth. So again, this last paragraph, focus on letting go of the idea of separation, and the concept of unworthiness will go with it. Because when you look at our perfect oneness, and when you look at how perfect it is, there is no such thing as unworthiness. That just absolutely disappears when you get that vision. It completely and fully disappears in the moment you have the vision. Tell yourself several times every day. Do you hear that? Tell yourself several times every day that you are willing to let go of separateness and to see oneness. Focus on your willingness. Invite a new way of seeing, a perspective of wholeness. God, I'm madly in love with this writing now that I go back and read it. In truth, there is only one idea to forgive, and that is the idea of separateness. Why not start and finish your forgiveness practice there? So you can tell how the Holy Spirit is really training me to use my freedom, my free will, to give my willingness to see only oneness, to let go of the belief in separation, and to give that willingness several times a day, over and over and over again. That's because the Holy Spirit knows what I am. The Holy Spirit knows that I am the free Son of God, and nothing can come to me except through my free choice, except through my willingness, except through my desire. So the Holy Spirit is training me to have that desire and to build that desire within me to see only oneness, until that desire is so grand that is all that I can see. He's literally teaching me to lead myself through my own desire to a new way of seeing, way before I understood what the Holy Spirit was doing. I mean, I didn't have an inkling of this understanding that I'm teaching now. Not an inkling. In fact, I was probably still hoping this was the Holy Spirit I was listening to and not the ego. I probably wasn't even sure. But now that I look at it now, I'm absolutely sure. I'm absolutely sure this was the Holy Spirit. The only reason I thought it was the ego is because I was looking at what the Holy Spirit was teaching me from a completely different point of view. I couldn't see with the Holy Spirit's eyes then, so I didn't understand. Now, what's funny about this is because I did not accept this teaching, and I did not. I may have posted it, but I did not accept this teaching. I was too far gone into my own unworthiness at the time to really trust it. Holy Spirit ended up coming back to me maybe 6 or 9 months later. And this was during the time when I was receiving the single quiet thoughts. And I remember Holy Spirit came back to me and said, "You are perfect." But then he didn't even take a breath, if you can imagine the Holy Spirit taking a breath. There was no pause in the sentence. It was like before I had a chance to say, "Oh no, not that again, here comes the ego." Before I had a chance to stop it, like I did in April of 2005, the Holy Spirit said, "You are perfect. To trust this thought is to trust me." And when the Holy Spirit said that, I knew I had to give my trust to the idea that I was perfect, because I was in a place there where my focus was really on building trust in the Holy Spirit. What I wanted above all else at that moment in my spiritual growth was to build my trust in the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit tied the idea of my perfection to the idea of trusting Him, I had to put my trust in the idea, because if I didn't put my trust in the idea of the perfection, I was abandoning my own goal that I had at the time, which was to learn to trust the Holy Spirit. So he came back again. "You are perfect. To trust this idea is to trust me." And so I started putting my trust at that point when he came back like 9 months later, not when this was given to me. I started putting my trust at that point in the idea that I was perfect. And at that point, I really started practicing intuitively what is written in this writing. I didn't go back and read it, but intuitively I knew that if I was going to trust the Holy Spirit, I had to trust the idea that I was perfect. The way I saw myself was still looking at myself as the personality separate. I could not see that perfection. So I also knew that I had to trust that there was another way to see. And so that's really what started happening for me. I think that was probably around December of 2005 would be my guess. That's when I really started practicing what was asked for here. So it was like a 9-month delay maybe. But what happened not within months of that is when I wrote the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Ephesians. And it was when I was writing the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Ephesians that I did have that shift in the mind, where I did see our oneness, know our oneness, realize how our oneness works even within the experience of illusion, and saw our absolute and unquestionable perfection. And so now I do have the eyes to see, and now I do know exactly what Holy Spirit is talking about when he says, "You are perfect, just as you are." And again, the reason Holy Spirit can say that is he is looking at our truth. He is not looking at the illusory personality along with all of the illusory judgments. He's looking at that which truly exists as us. As me, as you, as one. And he is saying, "You are perfect just as you are, because that is our absolute truth now." I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to share. All right, then, let's scroll up, 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 up. And we go to Friday, April 29th, The Jailed, The Jailer, and The Jailhouse in One. So, this is what Holy Spirit gave me to meditate on for the day. "I do not have to believe my thoughts. There is no law in the world or among the laws of God that orders me to believe what I do not choose to believe. Herein lies my freedom. For in this thought, I see that I am the jailed, the jailer, and the jailhouse in one. If I choose to remain imprisoned, I can at least recognize that that is my choice and rejoice in that freedom. When I tire of my bars and stripes, I can let them go and they will disappear at will. For in truth they do not exist except in my dream thoughts, which is only imagination. That is a powerful, powerful little paragraph. It's almost like everything you need to know is right there in that one little paragraph. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. It tells you exactly who you are, and it tells you exactly how you teach yourself to suffer, and exactly how you can teach yourself to be happy, all in one little paragraph. It's really interesting. I'm just going to go back, and I think I'm just going to go over this paragraph like a sentence or two at a time and talk about it a lot deeper. The very first sentence is a tough one for people. I know, because I talk to people all the time, and for some reason there's something in the mind that wants to, like when Holy Spirit said, you are perfect just as you are, and I said, you know, you're lying to me. When I tell people that they do not have to believe their thoughts, it's the same thing. It's like, you're lying to me. You know, like there's something in us that makes us think, if I think it, it must be true. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of baloney. You know, the other day, I can't remember what I was doing. Oh, yes, I was vacuuming the kitchen floor. And as I was vacuuming the kitchen floor for just an instant, or really it was probably more like 4 seconds, I saw, and this is very, very hard to put into words. It's one of those things that, you know, you can't quite put into words. So you all will have to try and follow me beyond the words here, all right? But I saw that we are both the created and the creator, would be one way to word it, that we are both. Another way to word it, in fact, when I came back from the experience, the words that I used with a friend is that we are both cause and effect. And in that, it really shows that cause and effect are not separate. We are both. We are both. It's very, very interesting, very hard to describe, but this is exactly what we're getting at when we say there's no such thing as separation. All right? This is it right here. We are both the cause and the effect. We are both. And a simple way to break that down, maybe something, you know, that's going to go a little bit linear, but a simple way to break that down is that when we think, especially, you know, when we think with the ego, since that's what we seem to do the majority of the time, when we think and we believe our thoughts, what really happens is that as cause, all right, or as creator, as cause, we add power to the thoughts that we believe, accept, especially the thoughts that we put some type of passion into. It could even seem to be negative passion, like really focusing on something you don't like and wishing it would go away. But we put our creative power into thoughts, especially those that we're passionate with. And what happens when we put our creative power into those things is that they become an effect. They become some type of effect. And what happens then is we may have an experience within the world. That's one way that we could have the effect. But another thing that happens is that the thoughts just come back into the mind again, and we suffer with our own thoughts. And I know that you all have suffered with your own thoughts before, so I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. So the effect often is not even anything in form. It's just the effect of suffering from our own worry and suffering from our own thoughts. Then they come back into the mind, we accept them again, and we have the same cause and effect. It's like a cause and effect loop. Every time I have the thought, I believe it, I add my passion to it, I have the thought again. I believe it, I add my passion, have the thought again. You know, I went out to dinner with my family the other night, and they had just returned from a cruise, and they talked about a beautiful young girl that was on the cruise, 17 years old, very beautiful from what she said, you know, a cheerleader, very popular. But, you know, we live in a very small town here, and apparently this girl has led a very isolated life. And the entire time she was on the cruise, she was suffering from anxiety attacks. And they got worse and worse and worse until at one point her father was calling the U.S. Embassy to see if he could fly her home from Jamaica because he was very concerned that before the end of the cruise she would have a very serious nervous breakdown from which she would not recover. Now, in form, there was nothing happening to make that girl suffer. She was on a beautiful cruise with all of her friends. Everything was perfect. But she was suffering the cause and effect of believing her own thoughts. Now, that's somewhat of an exaggerated example of what many of us do to ourselves all of the time, worrying about the future or whatever it is that scares us. The only way to get out of that is to realize that I don't have to believe my own thoughts. That's the only answer. Because if the thoughts come in and we continue to believe them, we continue that cycle of cause and effect. And not only that, we continue that cycle of cause and effect enough, stuff does manifest into form. Something fearful will come into our experience as well. So it will go beyond just the torture of thoughts and into experiences, which then, of course, encourage more thoughts. It's a downward spiral. So the only way to get out of this suffering is this first sentence. At some point, we absolutely must accept this. I do not have to believe my thoughts. It's very important to accept this. So that when a thought comes into the mind telling me what there is that I must fear, I need to understand that I do not need to believe that thought. And it's really helpful to me when I remember that I am creator, when I remember that if I believe that thought, I will suffer the effect in one way or another. I may suffer the effect in form, but I will definitely suffer the effect in the mind through mental suffering. All thought becomes effect in some way when it is accepted. And the only release is to realize I do not have to believe my thoughts. Now, before we continue, does anybody have any questions about this at all? All right, then, let's continue. I do not have to believe my thoughts. There is no law in the world or among the laws of God that orders me to believe what I do not choose to believe. Herein lies my freedom. This is the truth that sets you free. Herein lies my freedom. I do not have to believe my thoughts. Do you see how important this is? For in this thought, I see that I am the jailed, the jailer, and the jailhouse in one. And again, if you imagine the image of that beautiful 17-year-old girl on a cruise, because she's graduating from high school, on a cruise with all of her friends, three or four families went together. The weather was perfect. Everything was beautiful. And she was suffering, and her suffering was getting worse and worse and worse. You can see what this sentence means when it says we are the jailed, the jailer, and the jailhouse in one. There was nothing happening to that girl to make her suffer. But this is what we do to ourselves. If I choose to remain imprisoned, I can at least recognize that that is my choice and rejoice in that freedom. This is what I would call a first step, actually. If you start taking this step, you're going to find that pretty soon you're taking other steps, and pretty soon you're not going to be suffering anymore. But if you can at least say, I am doing this to myself. If you can at least say, I am doing this to myself. The reason I am suffering in the mind right now is because I keep choosing to believe my own thoughts. If you can at least say that, you are literally taking a step of freedom because you're beginning to recognize your own power. You're no longer choosing to see yourself as a victim. You're beginning to recognize your own power. So if I choose to remain imprisoned, I can at least recognize that that is my choice and rejoice in that freedom. When I tire of my bars and stripes, I can let them go, and they will disappear at will. For in truth, They do not exist except in my dream thoughts, which is only imagination. You know, that first sentence, I do not have to believe my thoughts. Very important. Steve and Lori, please take the mic.
Hi, Virginia. I guess I didn't talk yet this morning, so I don't have much voice yet. But I guess what one of the things I enjoy about listening to this Tuesday afternoon stuff is, like, when you talk about the process of how long, you know, when you heard this, and then all of a sudden in your mind it kind of clicks that, oh, it took you till you were typing or scribing such and such a section in NTI before you could actually accept what you heard, whether it was 6 months or 9 months or 12 months or 18 months before and stuff like that. So the process is really interesting for me, and that's what I think I enjoy a lot of it. I guess I've been, this one right now seems like it's been something that I've been kind of, I don't know if I'd call it struggling with, but it feels like it's been efforting. Feels like I've been spending like hours a day turning over ideas that I don't think I want to believe in and I don't want and I don't care for anymore. And I've been using that, mostly that decision for God at the end of my little prayer at the end of chapter 5. It says, like, and I actually like the part in paragraph 6 at the end of chapter 5 where it says something like, if I am not wholly joyous, I must have reacted with unlovingly or with a lack of love to one of God's creations, and usually it feels like it's myself. And then it goes on, and I actually use the fifth and sixth paragraph to set up these last five lines, but it says, if I'm not wholly joyous, or I must have decided wrongly if I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, and I can choose otherwise. I want to choose otherwise because I want to be at peace. And it says, I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will of himself or undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him and let him decide for God for me. And it really doesn't matter if I would use rules for decision where you get to the point where you say, at least I can admit I don't like the way I feel right now, so I must have decided wrongly or I must have asked the wrong question. It doesn't really seem like to me it makes a difference of which form of it I use, you know, or I could go into the test for truth at the end of chapter 14 and say, like, no, I'm not feeling totally peaceful, so I mustn't, you know, be passing the test for truth. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is if you could share anything on what your process was with doing this, because it seems like I'm letting go of a lot of judgments and spending, like I say, sometimes 2 or 3 or 4 hours a day just going through this and just letting go of everything that comes up. And I'm wondering, I guess, if there's anything that you have to share on a process like that, because I know you talked about, and I don't remember what you called it, like a year of fear or something like that, or somebody else had another name for it too. But I guess what I'm really appreciate is when you share the process, and so this is something that I'm looking for, if you have any sharing at all in the process, because I know you mentioned, somebody else mentioned to me something like a day or a year of dark fear or something like that, or I forgot what the words were and stuff. I don't always remember what other people's words are, but I mean there's tons of prayers in the workbook and text and stuff like that that are basically saying the same thing, that I don't want this thought anymore, I'm tired of giving my allegiance to the ego thought system and I want to be vigilant only for God. And you know, there's, like I said, a couple different ways they say it, but I guess I'm just interested if there's anything you could share about your process, and you know, if you did spend time meditating at times, or if it was always just working through, because I remember you talking about feeling a lot of fear one day and Holy Spirit said to just go ahead and go shopping and do whatever you're going to do and work through it and stuff like that. So I guess I'm kind of interested in the process. Is there anything you feel like would be valuable to share? So thanks for letting me ask that question. Here's a mic.
Yeah, in truth, Steve, I've never been really a meditator. I'm not a good meditator. You're not in the traditional idea of the word where it means sitting still and being quiet. If I try to sit still and be quiet, my mind takes off somewhere, and then I can bring it back, but then it takes off again, and then I can bring it back, and then it takes off again. So what Holy Spirit has always done with me when it comes to meditation is giving me an active way to meditate, because when I'm active, I actually remain focused. In the very, very beginning of meditation, The Holy Spirit taught me to create images within my mind. I actually created an entire place in the mountains that I would hike into, and I created every detail of the place. And then what happened is I would start going there, and like when I would hike up the mountain, I would, you know, imagine feeling my muscles, imagine the smell and taste of the dust on the trail, the sounds of the birds. You know, so I really was sitting still, but there was something more active about it in the mind. And then the Holy Spirit would swoop in, literally, and take over the meditation and use the meditation to teach me. So, you know, very active rather than just kind of trying to be still. Later, I think this is one reason, to be honest, the Holy Spirit made me a scribe because I could write and meditate. So I was listening to words and writing them down, and I was able to learn from the Holy Spirit that way. And so that became my active meditation. This morning when we were doing Fire the Grid, the Holy Spirit was giving me images, and my body was moving the entire time. First, there was an image of the world, and I was putting my hands out, and I was holding the world. And then the Holy Spirit had me move my hands all over the world. I went over different countries. I could see the countries, and I would stay with the countries and love the countries, then move my hand to the next country. And, you know, this whole thing continued for quite some time until we covered the entire world. And then the Holy Spirit started bringing into my mind people. You know, some of you all were there, people that are in my current life, and then people that were in my past life, you know, people from my past, and then people that I don't know, but I know of, like politicians or, you know, people in the news. And my hands were, you know, in the prayer position, and I was bowing to each person as they were presented, and you know, welcoming them in love. So very physical meditations for me. So that's just, you know, that's the meditation piece. I don't actually sit and be still. It's never worked for me, and the Holy Spirit gives me a whole nother way to do it. So it's really wonderful. As far as learning to let go of my belief and my thoughts, that can be very, very tough. Because you believe your thoughts. That's what makes it hard. I mean, some of the thoughts maybe you can let go of a little easier. But some of the thoughts you really, really, really believe. And so just to say, I don't believe this thought, it feels like you're lying to yourself because you do. I mean, and you know you do. So when I would run across these thoughts that I really, really, really believed, but I also knew through discernment that it was ego, knew through discernment that somehow it must not be true. You know, it must be illusion, although I couldn't imagine how, because I really believed it. The place I started with those thoughts is saying, I am willing to be willing to not, I'm willing to be willing to not believe this thought. I had to start what I would call way, way, way back at the beginning, because I was so sure that what I was believing was true. I had to say, I am willing to be willing to not believe this thought. And that is the beginning of willingness. And as I would do that every time, consistently, regardless of how much I believe the thought, say, I am willing to be willing to not believe this thought, eventually that moved into a very natural, I am willing to not believe this thought. So I moved closer to the point of letting it go. And then as I would say, I am willing to not believe this thought in a very consistent way, I began to move from there into, I don't have to believe this thought, and I don't want this thought. And that's where the real letting go process began, because then I would see I don't have to believe this thought. I mean, I would really just see it. A thought that I once thought was so true, I would get to the point where I saw, I don't have to believe this thought. Truly see it. It was no longer lying to myself. And that's where the letting go started. So it started with being willing to be willing to not believe the thought. And then it moved into, I am willing to not believe the thought. And then it moved into, I don't have to believe this thought. I choose to let it go now. Again, if you like timelines, Steve, I would guess 2 years in some cases to get from willing to be willing to, I don't have to believe this thought. You know, depending on how deep the thought was. So again, it's not overnight stuff in some cases, but it is consistency. And to be honest, to move from the way I thought and felt 3 years ago to the way I think and feel now in only 3 years is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. This is what consistency does. You know, just being consistent, keep doing it, keep trusting the Holy Spirit, and it works. It works. Any other questions about letting go of thoughts? All right, then. Let's go to Friday, April 29th, the thought that leads to salvation. And the way I asked this question, I must have read something in A Course in Miracles that talked about the thought that leads to salvation, and I must not have had a feeling about what that was, because it's a very specific question. What is the thought that leads to salvation? The Holy Spirit is that thought. It is the thought of home, a faint memory of heaven, oneness, peace, and love. When you are still, you can hear this thought. In that perfect clarity, it makes no sound, and it is familiar and comforting to you. Close your eyes and rest in this thought now. Which I did, and then notice the Holy Spirit didn't make me do it long, because I'm not good at that. So I got more words after I felt it. As you feel this thought, you know it isn't yours alone. This thought is the end of separation, because it is the memory of the wholeness of love. This is the thought that encourages you to let all other thoughts go, so you can return to only this thought. For it is only this thought that you truly want. Love this thought and welcome it as it welcomes you. Now, it's interesting because it's using the word thought here. But what I can tell you is that when I did go within, as the Holy Spirit asked, and I got in touch with that thought, it wasn't a thought as much as it was a feeling. It was a knowing, amazingly, even though it was thoughtless. It was a knowing and a feeling, but it wasn't really a thought, not at the thinking mind level of the word thought. It was a knowing and a feeling, and I could feel it within me. And so then I knew what the Holy Spirit was talking about. And, of course, the Holy Spirit called that the Holy Spirit. So that would have been what you might say the Holy Spirit within me. That would have been the part of me that is the spark of light at that point. The part of me that is the spark of light. The part of me that we might call the star. I got in touch with that, felt that, knew that. And then Holy Spirit said, now hold to just that. So he was pointing my eyes beyond the clouds to the blue sky within me, linking me up with my own blue sky, and then telling me to stay there, to love it and welcome it as it welcomes me. And of course, we all know now, I didn't know it then. Again, this is what I love about looking at these early Holy Spirit writings, because I can tell so much they did not come from my thinking mind, because they're teaching way beyond what anything that I could have written or taught at the time at a thinking level. We all know that what we focus on expands within our experience. So by teaching me to go in and find that place within me that is the Holy Spirit, and then teaching me to love that little place, that little seedling, which it probably was at the time, focus on that, then that began to expand within my own awareness and my own experience, so that it became more and more and more of me, more and more and more of my consciousness as opposed to my unconsciousness, more and more a part of the way I think and feel and interact within this life, you know, even here, right in a body. So again, a very, very wonderful writing and a wonderful, wonderful practice to go within, to get in touch with that thought, as the words are saying here. But as I said, it's not really a thought to me. It's because it doesn't involve the thinking mind at all. It's a feeling plus a knowingness. I would put those two words together. It's a feeling and a knowing within, and then focusing on that as much as possible, returning to that, loving that, knowing that. And that expands within us, and that becomes us. So very beautiful. Any comments or questions on this writing? All right, I'm back. So why don't we scroll up then? This is actually a love letter I wrote to you. I remember this. I wrote this to those of you that were on the Peace of God at the time, and I posted it to you. I woke up just feeling so much love and gratitude for everyone on the Peace of God and everything that I was receiving from everyone on the Peace of God. And I just had to tell you. So this was a love letter from Regina. You'll even notice it's signed Regina this time. This was a love letter from Regina to you. Everyone, I see you, and I love you for who you are. It is through who you are that I see myself. I see the gifts you give. Thank you. I feel the love and joy that you extend. I embrace them both. I love you, dear ones. I know you are my path, my reality, myself, my light, and the Christ. Let me tell you today that I see you. I am grateful to the light that you are. I am grateful for your gifts. I am grateful that you are me. I see you. I love you. I thank you, Regina. And of course, I still feel that way today. You know, what would I do without you? We wake up together. We wake each other up. We give marvelous, marvelous gifts to each other when we're not even aware of it. Not even aware of it. It's just fabulous. We are so connected and so important to one another. You know, Jesus says in A Course in Miracles, I believe, or it could be NTI, everything's running together in my mind. But I think it's in A Course in Miracles that, I can't remember words very well. I wish I was a good quoter. But something about, you know, if we really understood, the only thing that we would give our brother is gratitude. If we really understood, you know, how we are working together to wake ourselves up, if we really understood the love that is passing between us in every single moment, regardless of what it looks like, it's all used for our awakening. It's all helpful. If we only understood how incredibly important we are to each other, how incredibly dependent we are to each other, the only words we would ever share with our brother are words of gratitude. And there we go. Dev has given me the quote, so now I can say it. The only gift you can give your brother is full appreciation and gratitude. And I guess I'll take a moment now to talk about the peace of God. I didn't know I was going to do this, but it's feeling perfect right now. I don't know how long it's been now, maybe a week or so. You might be able to tell because my postings on the peace of God have gone lighter. I'm not posting there as much. I'm not posting like I do on the NTI discussion group. And the only reason for that is because I'm literally feeling guided not to look at or read what is currently being posted on the Peace of God, which means I don't truly have firsthand knowledge because I have not been reading the posts. But the Holy Spirit is giving me that very clear guidance. I can feel it just to not to bother with the Peace of God right now. So because I'm feeling guidance not to bother with the peace of God right now, I'm feeling guidance to spend my time in other places, I do know that there is a lot of ego showing up on the peace of God. Because if it was the peace of God that it was, you know, a few weeks ago, a month ago, where everyone was sharing the Holy Spirit from their heart, you know, Alan's up there sharing beautifully, and Carolyn, and Pamela, and Scrappy Lori, and Myron, and, you know, just Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit would have me there reading. The fact that Holy Spirit is just kind of guiding me, don't bother with the peace of God right now, tells me that something is up. And I don't know what it is. I'm not reading it. So I don't know what it is. I only know that something is up. And I think that really a good thing for us to focus ourselves on right now, right this moment, is this line that Dove has given us from A Course in Miracles text. The only gift you can give your brother is full appreciation and gratitude. I'm going to read my love letter to you one more time. Remember, this was written to the people on the peace of God. Let me read my love letter to you one more time. Everyone, I see you, and I love you for who you are. It is through who you are that I see myself. I see the gifts you give. Thank you. I feel the love and joy that you extend. I embrace them both. I love you, dear ones. I know you are my path, my reality, myself, my light, and the Christ. Let me tell you today that I see you. I am grateful to the light that you are. I am grateful for your gifts. I am grateful that you are me. I see you. I love you. I thank you, Regina. Now, in full trust, I know that whatever is happening on the peace of God right now is like a cloud. And like all other clouds, it is going to pass. It will pass. Because I see you, and I know that the love in your heart is what is going to extend on the peace of God, just like it always has, you know. And so I'm grateful for you. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to say about that. What is God? Oh, there's a good question. Saturday, April 30th, 2005. You can scroll up. This is actually a question that came from the peace of God. Somebody posted this. They asked, what is God? Is God manifested in this world? That was a question open for anybody to answer. So I went within to Holy Spirit and asked the question myself because I didn't have an answer and I thought it was a damn good question. So here's the answer I got at the time. God is a concept. And because God is a concept, it has different meanings in the minds of different people, or even different meanings in the mind of the same person at different times. God can be all that is. God can be the Father or the Creator of all creation. God can be the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of God can be anything that touches someone and recalls God to their mind. A way to think of God is to think of connection or oneness or wholeness. A way to think of its manifestation in the world is love, forgiveness, acceptance, and peace. One need not worry about what God is. This will lead you away from the experience of God. Relax and know that you are loved, and the experience of God will be manifest in you, for you. Let your mind be at peace. Let go of the past and the future. Experience now with acceptance. This will bring you the experience of God. Let yourself be guided one step at a time. This will bring you closer to God, or a constant awareness of God within you. Let God be whatever truly comforts you. Think of God as the great comforter. Be willing to accept God as it is, and God will be revealed to you. God is truth, which may seem to be difficult to grasp within the world, but do the best you can. Give your willingness to know God, and the knowledge of God will be given you. Isn't that a beautiful answer? I think I'm in love with the Holy Spirit. No, I know it. I'm in love with the Holy Spirit. Oh my God, I'm in love with the Holy Spirit. Any comments about what is God? Okay, hold on. I think someone is at the door. 1 second. Yeah, just God. I didn't see anybody there. I opened the door, and it was nothing. So it was just God coming to say hello, coming to say I love you, wanted to knock at the door, let us know we're not alone. That's it for April 2005, everyone. We have been on April for a long time. That was a very busy month for me. Now what we're going to do is go to May 2005. Oh, no, we're not. It's 2:58. We're not going to do that. We're going to go to May 2005 next Tuesday. What we're going to do now is stop and be gratefully in love with God, which is everything that we want to look at and say, hey, there's God. It's all of you. It's everything around us. It's within our own mind, within our own heart, even within my own throat. I feel God in my throat so much of the time. So I am in love with God. I am in love with you. I am in love with me. I am in love with this experience of life. It's wonderful being with you all. Bye-bye.